on this side, but as I had mentioned, people go on counting and then also losing some sects because they came and went. Generally speaking, this is true, but please sit down. As far as the Ahmadis go, the most important thing to be remembered is this, that never before in the history of Islam it happened that all the sects joined hands to chuck one sect out of Islam. That was the first time in the history of Islam that happened so. And at that time, in 1974, when this was done, their papers mentioned the number 72. Even in Nawaye Waqt it was published that the 72 sects of Islam have joined forces to declare Ahmadis as not Muslims. And that is that, and it is finished once and for all. So why that number came to their head? It was a decree of Allah, it was Allah's design that they should remind the Ummah that that which was prophesied has come to be fulfilled. What was the prophecy and what was to be fulfilled, what came to pass on 7th of September 1984, that has to be, 74, I'm sorry. That should be very clearly understood by you. Now, 72 sects, and that is what they claimed. We are not bothered with the number, but whatever the number be, all the rest of the sects of Islam got together and said, we are Muslims. And the one whom we are checking out is Jamaat Ahmadiyya. At that time, they were decent enough to use Ahmadi, the word Ahmadi and Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and Qadiani and Mirzai went into brackets. Now, Ahmadi has gone into the brackets and Qadiani and Mirzai have sprung out from the bracket and occupied the main place. But those were the old decent days of 74 as compared to the 84. This is how rapidly some people are deteriorating in character and morality. So what happened was that they declared that all the rest, that is we, belong to one denomination that is called Islam. And one Jamaat, which is Ahmadiyya Jamaat, is outside the pale of Islam. Now what we argued at the floor, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis pointed out very clearly and warned them, was this, that look here, Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied that a time would come, unfortunately, when 72 sects would be on the one hand and one sect on the other. The 72 it would be who would be hellish, and it would be only the one who would be heavenly. So whatever the number, that is not the point. The point is that you are rebelling against your own so-called the holiest of prophets. So-called goes to your own. While we believe, not to the holiest, the word so-called I meant to refer to their claim that they love him. So how could they love him at the same time to dare to rebel against him? What was the nature of rebellion? This is what I am going to explain. And which Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani explained at length before the National Assembly. He said, the import of this prediction is this, that a time is going to come when there would be division, and the division would grow so large that it may reach the number 72. At that time, only one sect would be heavenly, that is truly Muslim, and the rest would be non-unheavenly, that is, in reality, they would not remain any more Muslims. So what you are doing is, you are exactly putting an opposite, taking an exactly opposite position to his position. You say the 72 are heavenly and one is hellish. While Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one would be heavenly and the 72 would be hellish. So he said, you can call us hellish, but first count us among the 72, then call us hellish. So all of you can't be counted in one pocket and yet be entitled as heavenly. Each one who has to claim that that particular sect is heavenly has to first walk out of that pocket and then declare the rest are hellish and we are heavenly. So what you are doing is, you are declaring that the number 72 applies to you. That is valid, because that does not disagree with Rasulullah's prediction. So we agree. But the title is wrong. You are placing the wrong title in the wrong place. So that was made very clear. That was the only time when this happened. And this was the prediction of our Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was going to happen one day. Never before it had happened that 72 agreed to this fact, that all the 72 were Muslim. That's another aspect of looking at it. The one aspect which I was discussing before was this, that it was the first time that 72 agreed that one community was not Muslim and it was outside the pale of the 72. The second claim which they made at that time was this, that we the 72, despite our internal differences, are Muslims. They are all Muslims. How are they all Muslims? Now let us consider at some detail. That declaration also meant that from now on, within the 72, you could hold the view that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar bin al-Khattab, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were all not only not caliphs, but also were imposters and usurpers. And were, na'udhu billah min zalik, rousul munafiqeen, not rousul mu'mineen. You can keep this view and yet be among us, the Muslims. That was also declared at the same time. And you can also keep this view that if you believe such and such a thing about the holy caliphs of Islam, you will go to hell. You will still keep that view and be counted among the 72 Muslim sects. You could also hold that whoever prostrates before the graves or begs of the dead saints in Islam who are no longer alive and believe that they can come and give you something by way of present or alms, or also believe that Ahadrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shares omniscience with Allah, that is, He is all knowledgeable and forever knowledgeable, and also that Ahadrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shares omnipresence with Allah, that is to say, He is present everywhere, every time. And when during Maulud Sharif you take His name, He is there personally to listen to you, so you should stand up out of respect. If you hold all these views, you remain Muslim and there is nothing wrong with these views. That was also declared on that day. And if you hold the view that to believe in these things is pure and simple idolatry, it has nothing to do with Islam and the unity of God. It hits at the very roots of the unity of God. Still, you can be a good Muslim and there is nothing wrong with you. It was also declared that if you believe that Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was just like a brother to us, one of us, this is as good as anything else. Even if you believe that it is possible for Allah to tell lies, He refrains from it. But He could tell lies if He so pleased, and He could indulge in sodomy. This is what is written by the Devbandi sects in their books. And he could do this and you could do that. Go on believing. There is absolutely no harm, nothing wrong with that Islam. And if on the other hand you believe that to hold such views immediately turns out of the pale of Islam and you are no longer Muslim in any way, even then that is also good. Both these opposite poles can join hands and remain in peace within the pocket of the 72 Muslims. So on and so forth. And there's unlimited number of examples. You can believe that Allah can talk and will continue to talk, as some saints of Islam have been claiming. And you can believe that whoever believes that Allah will talk becomes non-Muslim. Yet both these beliefs will remain in peace with each other within the pocket of the 72. So contradiction upon contradiction was created on that single day. Such a day had never dawned before in the history of Islam as the day of the 7th September of 1974. On that day, all these prophecies of Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were fulfilled, and this was the demonstration how they were fulfilled. If you are so dishonest that privately you nourish grudges against each other and you know yourself that within your hearts you believe that such and such person is a kafir according to you, but out of the hatred of somebody you are getting together and giving it a semblance of unity, this is the height of dissemblance. So dissemblance cannot go to heaven. So the proof why they shouldn't go to heaven was also provided by their leaders, that they agreed upon their committed disagreements for the sake of one so-called common enemy. Now this sort of unity has been described in Islam by the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran does not say that those who deny a messenger of Allah, they do not have any sort of unity or oneness. On the contrary, the Holy Quran declares, Al-Kufru Millatum Wahida. In denial, they become one. Al-Kufru Millatum Wahida means, in denial they become one, while in reality they are not. How have I inferred the second part, in reality they are not? That inference is drawn from another verse, which says, Tasabahum. Tasabahum jamiyam wa qulubahum shatta. You consider, you look at them as if they're all together, forging one unity. Wa qulubahum shatta, while their hearts are a dagger drawn with each other. They are parted. So the same people are referred to as millat-e wahida, and also as those who are scattered and diversified and they are opposed to each other. The philosophy is also mentioned that their apparent unity springs not from love of Allah but hatred of someone. Al-kufru millatum wahida, al-imanu millatum wahida is not said about them. So there are two types of unity, one forged by faith and love, and the creative forces that that the man is endowed with. And other unity is forged by the forces of hatred and disparity. That is the type of unity which was forged on that day, because they got together on denial, not on acceptance of something. A further proof of this was manifested in their changing the definition of Islam. Islam was not a religion which was revealed on 7th of September 1974. It was in existence right from the time of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in some way or some form it has always been in existence. Whenever a prophet came, he was in fact preaching a part of Islam. The difference is that during the time of Ahadur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole of Islam got revealed. Previously it was only a part of Islam which was revealed from time to time. But Islam it was, there is no denial. So, what happened on that day, on the day of 7th September, that a new definition had to be minted, otherwise Islam could not be defined. The definition which was handed down to us through generations, that whoever believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah becomes a Muslim, became extremely insufficient. Because through that definition, Ahmadis could also enter the fold of Islam. So a negative definition, that is kufr, had to be created. Never before in history of any religion, such a negative definition was created. You know, when it said that unless you deny Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam, and reject him and refute Ahmadiyyat, not only that, but enter into blasphemy against him, you will not be accepted as a Muslim. So that was a new definition. While they forgot that the definitions, two definitions, are always ageless and spaceless. A definition knows neither time nor space. You can't conceive of any definition which is limited to time or limited to space. For instance, when you say human beings, define human beings and say al-insanu natiqu, a rational animal. Now, if a rational animal is found in China or in Africa or in Congo, the definition would still apply. No geographic barriers can affect a definition. Wherever a rational animal will be found, he would be declared as Homo sapiens, human being. And if such a man is found 200,000 years before the history of mankind was ever created as we know it, still that man would be called a human being, because this definition of rational animal applies to him. So it works both backwards and forwards, sideways, forward and backward. I mean, every direction is covered by a definition. You can't put a barrier upon a definition. But so this is why La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is a definition. Because there was no time in Islam when anybody saying it could not enter Islam. No place on earth where you declare La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and you do not become a Muslim immediately. Even before the time of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, conceive of someone who has been told by Allah that Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to appear. If he knows this definition, even if he happens to be 4,000 years before Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he declares La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he would immediately become Muslim. So this is what is definition. It is timeless and spaceless. This definition that was created on that day was neither timeless nor spaceless. Walk out of the barriers of Pakistan into India and you immediately become Muslim. Because that definition is not applicable there. It is only with reference to the constitution and law of Pakistan that you become non-Muslims. So what sort of definition that is? You go back in time, before the time of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam, and apply this definition. All the people before Masih Maud alayhi salam would become non-Muslims through this definition. Because they didn't know to whom was to be denied, who was to be denied. And because they did not add the denial part of the definition in their confession, according to the definition, do not become Muslims. So when they made us not Muslims by that definition, in fact, the entire history of Islam was inherited by us. Because according to the same definition, all the past Muslims had become not Muslims. Because if it is an integral part of a definition of Islam, that somebody should be denied
as an imposter, then whoever doesn't do it, he doesn't become a Muslim. What sort of definition that is, where you can ignore certain parts and still fall into that definition, come into the four walls of that definition. So it is an illogical situation which they face, and they are closing their eyes to it. Two definitions cannot be changed. So this is why Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared that they will find themselves in an impossible position. They would try to chuck one community out, which in the eyes of Allah would be heavenly, and in the same process they would themselves become unheavenly, to say the least. Because if that is a true definition, then they are committing a very grave crime, unpardonable. That all the people who were born before Masih Maud alayhi salam were not Muslims, because they had never heard of this definition, and they were not according to the standard of this definition not Muslims or Muslims. So this is what happens when you try to achieve something illogical and impossible. So that day brought a host of favorable arguments to the lap of Ahmadiyya. Such shining and bright arguments as nobody can defend his position against. In fact, at that time even the ignorant began to see what had happened. Once during that Jalsa Salah of 74, I was working in a Langar Khana as Nazim Langar Khana. So after that, when we were dispersing and paying off the labor, one of the non-Ahmadi labor, previously non-Ahmadi I should say, he told everybody to sit before departing and listen to him. And there he made a short speech in Punjabi and said, look here, we are ignorant people, we didn't know who was right and who was wrong. The only thing which has made me convinced now that Ahmadiyyat is true is this, that the Maulvi used to tell us that 72 would be Nari, that is hellish, and only one would be the community which according to Allah is heavenly. So he said, we couldn't know which one. So with the grace of Allah, the 72 themselves have pointed out that that is the community. So I have received the message and I declare myself to be an Ahmadi from now on. It's up to you to follow your own course. So that he was a totally ignorant person belonging to some Jhang village, and he had seen through this. So that was an argument which was irrefutable by the non-Ahmadis, and it still is irrefutable. Moreover, there is one other interesting part to that tradition, which is generally ignored by Ahmadis. That is that when Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared that 72 would be hellish and one would be heavenly, one of the present asked him, how could we find out, Ya Rasulullah, which community was the fortunate community you are referring to as heavenly? And which are the other 72? Now this is a very difficult question. Project yourself into such a position and you won't be able to find any answer satisfactory to everybody and easy to understand. How could you give a measuring stick to measure the truth of every sect to an ordinary Muslim? It is a very scholarly job. People in fact spend the whole lifetimes to pursue and to investigate the truths of claimants and to differentiate between truth and falsehood, and to go into investigating the relative claims to truth of 72 sects. That's a very onerous task, to say the least. So one of the present among the Sahaba, that is the companions of Hazur Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, got extremely puzzled. He said, only one would be heavenly out of 73, and we are bound to be belonging to that one. How could we judge in such a position that they are 72 and this is one? So look at Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam's greatness. That what appeared to be an impossible question, he made it appear so easy and simple that one is stupefied. He simply said, Mana alaihi wa ashabi. Why can't you judge between the 72 and the one? The one would be in the same state of affairs as you find me and my followers. What happens to me would happen to the one. And those who are responsible for those bringing about that situation in which we find ourselves would belong to the 72. Because my opponents cannot be heavenly, and my followers who find themselves in my position cannot go to hell. This is a simple statement. So by saying Ma ana alaihi wa ashabi, he simplified the matters for all times to come. And what was that state in which we find Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time? He was made to lose all his civic rights. He could not declare the name of his own faith. And so, also his followers were deprived of that fundamental right. They said, we are Muslims, and the opponents beat them. What right do you have to call yourselves Muslims? Your Sabis. That was a simple statement. Your Mirzais, Qadianis, whatever name you give, it amounts to the same thing. You are not that which you claim. That is the fundamental reality which was seen as by the opponents of Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and by the opponents of Ahmadiyyat now before our eyes. Then his personal name was objected to. He said, not to mention the community name, you do not have a right to call yourself Muhammad. So we will name you, we will christen you, as they say in England. And we have found a very good name for you, that is Muzammam. Nauzubillah min zalik. That was the attitude, stance taken by them. And this is exactly what has happened in our times. In 74, the same year, the Maulvis were demanding that Ahmadis should not be permitted to call themselves Muhammad and Ahmad and keep these good names. We should give them bad names because they are bad people. Mosques were demolished, and the Muslims' mosques were demolished at that, and this is how they were treated. They were deprived of their right to declare La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And Ahmadis were declared at that time unworthy of claiming La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and they were beaten. They were boycotted as Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was boycotted. They were boycotted from food and drink and milk, all the necessities of life. This is exactly what happened during those days. So every right which was snatched away from Hazrat Rasul Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was snatched away by our opponents, that is the 72, from us. And yet they did not know which one was the heavenly and which one was the opposite. How blind they became at that moment, right in the 72, when they were declaring us to be not Muslims, by the standard of this tradition of our Hazur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their acts, their situation of life, was declaring themselves to be not Muslims. Because they were creating similarities, day by day, adding to those similarities, which were not the way of Hazur Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which did not apply to Hazur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba. Those similarities which were created resembled the conduct of Hazur's opponents, not his followers. And that which was brought upon us was exactly what was brought upon Hazur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what is simple and pure, and how shining that answer is to lead you to the truth. Maana alaihi wa ashabi. Why are you so confused? It is such a simple matter to declare, to find. Whichever of the sects, when there is a difference of opinion, behaves like me has to be counted among the heavenly people. And those who bring about difficulties for them, as my opponents create difficulties for me, those are to be counted with their lot, not with my lot. So that was a shining year for in the history of Ahmadiyya, the D-74. Always remember it. It brought a new sun of light and evidence in favor of Ahmadiyya. So in this context, this year should be discussed, and this tradition which you have referred to should be discussed.